good to have another good audience tonight. Glad that you are here and that this is your desire to be here. We have visitors in our audience, and I started to say some old friends. Mike and Janet are here today. I told Mike he's just way too churchy, going to church three times a day. But that's great. It's good to see you and good to see them as well. Memories from many, many years ago. Turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Proverbs. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, if that'll help you. We had a fellow who didn't know one book from the other in our audience one time, and some of the members were upset that I would try to help him find the books, but it helped him to see where we were going and helped him to see what I was saying was the truth. Proverbs chapter 1. Now the reason for this lesson, have you ever read a book and the first chapter just grabbed you? And you maybe had other things you needed to be doing, but again, it was the book you couldn't put down? You saw in that book something that maybe hadn't touched you before, and words can do that. They can make you laugh, they can make you cry, they can make you angry. But there is such a treasure in this book. Every congregation ought to have Proverbs 101, and in particular for teenagers. As we are to teach and to train our children in their youth, and they are, the book that follows it, chapter 12, verse 1, Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It doesn't want you to look back, God doesn't want you to look back on your life and think, oh, what a mess I have made of my life. And because you don't get a do-over, you can't delete and start over, can you? You can't undo what you've said. You can't undo what you've done. You need to do it right the first time. Because as we just sang, I'll live on. That song is talking about living in heaven, and that's a beautiful song. But there's another destination if you don't. This book helps you. This Bible is an all-sufficient book. And this book of Proverbs helps you to live happier while you're here on the earth. How many serial killers, had they been brought up in the church and taught this, would have done what they did? I'd say none of them. And I want you to see some things in chapter 1 that will grip you and say, if there's that much in chapter 1, what's in chapter 2 and 3 and 10 and 20 and 31? The book closes as beautifully as it begins, doesn't it? Remember the virtuous woman who can find for her prices far above rubies, and goes on and to describe that wonderful lady? You know, I used to think that chapter was for girls. You know what? It's for young men to find the young lady like that and to see, oh, this is what I need to look for. And it also does help the young ladies to see what she needs to be, how she needs to live, because she'll be called blessed. But we're back in chapter 1. Well, it says in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. And you know what? We could stop right there, couldn't we? And every one of you could tell me about one or both of these characters. Just say one thing about just everybody. A lot of you. And you think, I didn't know I knew all that. But you do. You know what they were noted for? You remember David and that other fellow? And Solomon, what he did in his lifetime? I have a commentary at home that says, we're not sure who wrote the book of Proverbs. Well, I know other men had a hand in writing, and the book tells you who they are, Agur and Lemuel. But Solomon wrote most of these. In 1 Kings chapter 4. And verse 32 tells us he wrote 3,000 proverbs. He wrote 1,000 songs. Wouldn't you like to read them all? So he wrote the book. And the Queen of Sheba said about him, "The half has not been told." His wisdom, his wealth, and was also some of his downfall. But in verse 2 he says, the reason for writing this book, verses 2 through 4, are the purpose. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now that's a whole sermon or series of sermons in those few words, isn't it? He tells you what you are going to learn from this book. And he's going to tell you that if you are brutish, I think our word today would be stupid, you don't want any of this. I don't need any of that. Okay. Then your life is going to be a mess. Here is a recipe. I don't know about you, but I like to be happy. Have you ever done anything wrong and wished you hadn't? My boys would say, duh. Yeah. Sure we have. So he says, my purpose for writing this, so you can know wisdom, instruction. You know what James chapter 1 tells you? If you lack wisdom, what should you do? Pray. Ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Okay? Now this is in spiritual things. I remember the shortstop for the Cincinnati Reds, whose name escapes me just now. Concepcion, thank you. And he used to cross himself, you know, every time he went up to bat. And they said, does it make you a better hitter? He said, if you're a good hitter. You know, that doesn't help you, whatever you want to do with your hands. You ask God. You ask God for help. So to know wisdom and instruction, and that carries with it the idea of self-discipline. That you can say no to the things that you need to say no to. Remember the just say no to drugs thing 30 years ago when it came on the scene, or 40? So to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, you're going to get it. Did somebody ever tell you something and you go, oh. They, as the fellow said, they explained it so even you could understand it. Maybe it was a teacher in school, and maybe it was about fractions or whatever, trigonometry. And a light went off. And you know teachers can tell when a student gets it. That your face lights up, and they can tell when you don't. And they looked at me. So, you see what you're going to learn here? To receive, verse 3, instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Now, that's the sermon in that verse. To give subtlety to the simple. Now, that doesn't mean the adult brain. Okay? That means the naive. Somebody who doesn't know. But when he learns again, his face, oh, yeah. He's going to get it. Verse 5. A wise man. Well, verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. There's two groups of people here. The naive fella, and then to the young man, knowledge and discretion. He's going to know, this discretion, he's going to know, as we said earlier, when to say no. He's going to be wise. In high school, you're going to see your friends do things that you know that are wrong. And if you are listening, you're going to be able to say, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. Okay? It'll give you discretion. A wise man, verse 5, will hear. And this word has the idea, you know, some kids say, yeah, I hear you. Which means, my ears picked up the noise of your voice, but I ain't gonna do what you said. Okay? Yeah, I hear you. But a wise man will hear with the intent of obeying and will increase learning, will increase his knowledge. He sees the value of it, and being ignorant is not going to help you. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. It's always a good thing to go to somebody older and sit down and listen. When we moved to Peyton City, we had 31 widow and widowers. 31. And I spent a lot of time in their homes. Just go and sit and listen. Somebody said God gave you two ears and one mouth, which means you should listen twice as much as you talk. And for some of us, it's hard to do. But if you want to learn, you will listen. And listen to wise counsel. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and its in, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, or their knotty sayings, their difficult sayings. You pay attention. You listen to the older. Listen to your grandfather. Listen to your grandmother. Listen to those older than you, wiser than you, because they've already been through this school. But God is asking you to listen when you're at the age when you don't think you have to listen. Because what is there that you don't know when you're 14 or 16 years old? Remember Mark Twain? What he said about his parents when he was 17? He said he thought they were the most ignorant people in the world. And when he turned 20, he said he couldn't believe how much they had learned in 3 short years. Well, who was it that had learned? He was on his way, wasn't he? When you understand that you don't know it all. The purpose of the book, verses 2 through 4, and the theme of the book in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if you'll highlight every time that is said, maybe in a different way, fools despise wisdom and instruction. He's going to tell you this over and over. How many of us can remember something when we hear it just once? Somebody said the 3 R's of learning are repetition, repetition, repetition. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Then it begins to become a part of you. They tell you in school to read your lesson 3 times. Repeat it. Repeat it. And so he's going to tell us these things over and over as you will read throughout this book. He says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. A lot of that is not being done today. And a lot of that is because of mothers and fathers. There's no respect for mother and father. Because they did not begin to teach their children when they were small. And so the child has no respect. Children, my children, your children, they're going to test you. Okay? They will test the rules. You make a rule, you keep it. You be consistent. When you tell them to do something, you see that it is done. I remember the first time I was on my own making my bed upstairs at our house. And I was in a big hurry. So you talk about covers thrown, dirty clothes under the bed. And I was going out and playing with my buddies. I got outside to play and I heard my mother's voice at the back door. Get back up there and do it right. I taught you better than that. Now, what if she'd have said, oh, he was in a hurry and understand he's not going to go play with his buddies and he's just a little guy. And next time I made that bed, how would I have done it? Flip, zap, done. Instant bed made. She taught me do it right. You teach your children the same way. I learned that mowing the grass, and that was before our mower had a motor on it. Okay. Left streaks, and my dad, mom said, "Supper's ready." He's not. Too big of a hurry. When you get the yard done, then you can come in. You're not doing it wrong, and I'm not going to call it right. Washing the car. We had a dog. We had to, the same way, washing the car. We had a dog. Oh, we got to have a puppy. Got to have. Guess who fed it? Guess who went out and broke the water in its bowl in the cold days? You wanted it. You take care of it. It is your job. Train your children. Teach them when they are young. And that you mean what you say. So he says there in verse 8, "My son, hear," there's that word "hear" again, "with the intent of obedience, hear the instruction of thy father," and that's telling you to give instructions, fathers. "Forsake not the law of thy mother." That's just, you ever hear anybody call their mother the old lady? I would have done that once, and my face would have been swollen. My lips would have been swollen. You know, a couple of times my parents said, "I'm going to set you on fire." And I thought I was. My dad had a belt. Did you ever hear a belt coming out of the loops, knowing it was coming toward you? That is a fearful thing. My mother's was a switch that she could grab anywhere in the house. It was always, it seemed like, did you ever hear a little keen switch, she called it, going through the air like Zorro's sword? And leaving lines and not a Z. And back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, God gave this instruction, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," to parents. And you're going to teach your children, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Keep it ever before you," which is keeping it ever before your children. Let your children see you studying this book. Okay? Let them know that you love God. My mother had a third grade education, jerked all around the country in her youth. You know what book she learned to read out of? This one right here. She taught herself to read. And this is the book we saw her reading. And my dad could not work, totally disabled from World War II. And she had to get up at 4:30 every morning and go to work. Cold, rainy, whatever. And get home, and this was before wash and wear clothing and dryers and automatic washers. We had a wringer washer, some of you old enough to remember that, and the aggravation, frustration of that. But she had time to teach us the Word of God. To pray with us, to study with us, and for us not to forsake her law or the law of the instruction of our Father. Here's the reason, verse 9, that you do that. It begins with the word "for." "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." I call it the Mr. T starter kit. Are you old enough to remember Mr. T? With all the gold chains around his neck. He said, "You obey your parents and it will make you look good." Anybody not like to look good? Whatever happened to "yes, sir," and "yes, ma'am," and "no, sir," and "no, ma'am"? Oh, that's out. That's old fogey stuff. No. No, it is not. Show a respect for your parents. I want to tell you, because you will not always have them with you. And I want to tell you something else. You cannot go to a tombstone and tell them how much you love them. You just can't do it. You need to act like and behave like you should and love them. And this will make you look good. Then verse 10. You heard this verse. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know, parents sometimes always dread, well, we've got to have the talk with our children. You know, that day's coming, you know, well, he's 25 now, don't you think you better have it? Remember Jimmy Dean, in one of his recitations, talking about the day his dad talked to him about the birds and the bees. He said, my dad was all nervous and his hands were sweaty and he was wringing his hands. And he got me into his study and he was sitting at his desk and I was sitting across from him. And he said, well, son, I need to talk to you. And Jimmy said, I said, well, Dad, what do you want to know? Parents, if you don't teach your children, somebody will or something will. And today it's the television or movies or books. And they're not going to get it straight from them as they would from here. And their life is not going to be what it ought to be. Now Solomon says here in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, just say no. Well, that wasn't so hard. Talk is over. Did you have a talk with him? Yes, I did. What did you say? Well, if people want you to sin, don't do it. Well, that's good. That's a good start. But Solomon didn't stop there, did he? He gave him more instruction than that. Verse 11. If they say, we might better say, when they say, come with us, verse 11, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. And notice I've underlined the word us there. Misery loves what? Yeah. It doesn't like to do what it does alone. It likes to know that there are others. Ah, come on, you coward, chicken. Goody two shoes. They're going to call you every name under the sun to get you to cave and to go with them. Come with us. Come. And here you are all alone, all by yourself. And there's... Come on with us. Come on. You want to have real fun? You want to make it big? Let us lurk. What do you read that word lurk? I watch Discovery Channel. Even with all of its evolution, I watch these beautiful animals on there, and this lion as he's creeping up on that little deer or antelope, and I'm shouting at the screen, run! What is that lion doing? And his powerful, you see his powerful muscles in his back and his legs, and he's lurking through the grass. Can you see that? Yes, you can. And that's what he's saying to you. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. He didn't do anything wrong, but we're going to gain from it, he says. Let us swallow them up, verse 12, alive as the grave. As the grave hides the dead body, we aren't going to get caught. We're going to be in and out, gone. And let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Just the suddenness of death, nobody's going to see. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Bingo. Got your attention? You're working at McDonald's for minimum wage? My son worked at a very expensive clothing store in Indianapolis. And he said, Dad, these little 12, 13-year-old boys come in with a wad of money like this. Pull it out of their pocket. Gold chains. Where'd they get that money? Doing legal things? What do you think? And he said, there I was working. And this kid comes in and he's not just ones and fives. 20s. $100 bill. Whatever you need to pay for. He bought it. Cash. And so, come with us. You want to get rich? Or you want to spend the rest of your life saying, you want fries with that? You want the Lamborghini? See my red one out there? Corvette? You want that? Come with us. You can have it. There you are, standing over here. Decision time. If you're making up your mind while he's asking you, too late. You've got to already know what you're going to do. When the temptation comes, and it may not be that way, it may be something else. It may be immoral practices. And your conscience is telling you, no, I shouldn't do that. I should. Solomon is telling his son, and I'm telling you, it's like sitting across a table, eyeball to eyeball, television's turned off. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You have his undivided attention to tell him, this is how you're going to be tested. It is going to look so good for you to follow them because you can get rich quick. Remember Achan when they destroyed Jericho? What did he do? He took from the spoil that God said don't. There it was. Who's going to know? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Yes, sir. This book tells us. And this is how they're going to test you. Verse 14, he's going to say to you, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You know these creeps, these crooks, they're such good guys. We're good buddies. Did you know this gang that's begging you to come with them, they stole from somebody else? Why wouldn't they steal from you? And they would. You turn your back. Remember watching Elliot Ness, the Untouchables? These guys that rob a bank or get rich somehow, and somebody knock on the door. First thing they do is, see who it is. And they're saying, we're rich! We're rich! Look at... They can't spend it. They can't go to buy a new house. They can't spend it. We've got to lay low for... That's being rich. Thank you, but no thank you. But is that what they're going to tell you? If you come with us, the law's going to be after you, and you could get caught. No, they're not going to tell you. They're going to paint the pretty side of it. Like the devil did to Eve. Remember what he did? He lied to her, didn't he? He deceived her, didn't he? And that's what this guy's doing, wants to do with this boy. But verse 10, my son, if sinners entice, lure you, making it look pretty. That's the devil working. 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. I had rather tell my son these things than to say, why didn't I? Oh, if I'd just... I talked to a mother who had four sons and they had messed up their lives. They'd all gotten married and then they had intermarital relationships with each other's wives. I asked her, Marie, did you ever talk to your children about these moral... Oh, but I was just too embarrassed. Okay. And now you're paying for it. Two of them went to jail. And the third one should have. But he got out of town. Don't go with them. What's Psalm 1 and verse 1 say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You begin to walk with them, you will stand and talk with them, and then you will be sitting down with them. Don't do it. Tell your girls, tell your sons, look out. There are some dishonest people, and they want you to join them and to ruin your life. Let me tell you this. When I first started preaching, there were brothers 12 and 14 years old. One of their friends said, my neighbor's going to be gone for 2 weeks. Tomorrow night, me and Johnny and Jimmy, and if you can, You can come with us, and we're going to break into this house. And we won't get caught because they're not coming back for 2 weeks. It's going to be exciting. Looked good. Not going to get caught. You see the lure? See the lure? Come on, go with us. This is exciting. Dark. Okay? Well, just so happened one of the neighbors saw movement in that house. Guess who he called? And before those boys could turn around, there was about 6 police cars there. And they walked out of that house in these beautiful bracelets. This was like one Monday or Tuesday. And on Saturday morning, you know what they got to do? Chained together, those 5 boys, they had chains around their wrists, around their waist, down to their feet, around their feet, to the boy ahead of them. And they got to walk from the jailhouse to the courthouse on Saturday morning. Stop. In their gray, pretty gray suit with a red stripe down the side. When your father says, "Don't do that, son." Your mother says, "Honey, watch out. Be careful." Okay? Forsake not the law of thy father, okay? Your mother. Keep what they say. Pay attention. Take it into your heart. Listen. This is what this book's trying to do. Oh man, how boring. Oh, so you wanna do this? They didn't either. We got to go to court with them, 2 of the boys, and we got to hear that judge bring down his hammer and tell those boys 5 years in the boys' penitentiary. If you're 12, you're going to be 17 when you get out. If you're 14, you can figure it out. Was it worth it? Verse 10 again, "My son, if sinners entice thee..." Don't. Here's how they're going to do it. There's going to be a lure. They're not going to say, "Stand there and let us beat the tar out of you." Duh. That's no temptation. No. Excuse me. "Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." If your foot doesn't go, your body's not going, okay? Reason, verse 16, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." How many times have they, "Well, we just broke into the house and we were going to take this collection of this. We didn't know they were coming home. They were supposed to be gone. And Johnny picked up the poker and just meant to tap him on the head and knock him out. Didn't mean to kill him. Well, I didn't do it. It was Johnny that did it." I don't care. You were there. You're going to trial for murder. You're going to wish you'd have said no? What do you think? "Sorry. No, I'm not going with you. I don't care. Fill my house with spoil? I know what's going to be spoiled." Okay, I think you're getting the point. And I remember reading this verse when I was a little boy. Verse 17. I thought there was a commercial break here in verse 17 that he just said, "Well, I'm going to say this. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." Huh? What's that have to do with what you're talking about? Well, anybody ever call you bird brain? If they did, I want to tell you it wasn't a compliment. Okay, if you thought it was, sorry. You know, their little heads and their little... For 14 years, every winter, we have fed the birds in our backyard. And most of the time through the summer. We have this bread that keeps turning funny colors. And we don't want to eat it, so we break it up and eat it. You know what they do when I go out there every time? They fly off. They don't know what I'm coming to do. They're birds of prey. Whether I'm going to catch them or feed them. But they're not waiting to find out until I throw out the bread. And then they come back. Okay? If I had a net to catch, lay out there to catch them, are they going to stay? No. Even a bird has the sense to flee when there's danger. Okay? What about you? Do you? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. This, you can see this happening, he said. You can see what's going on, like the bird. Verse 18, and they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. And he tells us this throughout the book, again and again. They're going to go to jail. They're going to get caught. How many prisoners in jail have thought, oh, I didn't think we'd get caught, huh? Hello? And then they get out, and what do? They go right back to the same thing. Again and again, breaking mothers' hearts, fathers' hearts. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Get rich quick schemes don't work. Again, we had a member of the church that said, I found this lottery ticket in the parking lot at Caterpillar. $100,000 winner. About 35, 40 years ago. That's when $100,000 was a lot of money. Well, he lost his family. His wife left him. It was a miserable situation. Money isn't all that's cracked up. Rather be happy. Money can't buy everything. And love is one of them, and happiness is another. But he says, son, don't you go with these boys. Don't you walk with them, because they're going to get in trouble. Okay, don't follow them. They're going to try to get rich quick, fill their houses with spoil, and it won't work. All right, now the rest of the chapter, and we're going to hurriedly go through this. It is consequences. If you stick your hand on a hot stove, what's going to happen? You learn fast? I shouldn't have done that. Do you cut tomatoes? Whoops. No, you look, don't you? You like yourself too much to just start whacking like they do on TV, you know. Even the good chefs, they're watching. You know, they're not looking at the camera while they're, whoa. No, they're paying attention to what they're doing. They know there'll be consequences. I try not to shut my fingers in the car door, don't you? Huh? Not pleasant. And you don't have to, I've never had that happen, so I don't know how it feels. You want to try it? No. You like yourself too much. And we do like ourselves. Husbands, love your wives as your own body. That's why we take care of ourselves. We kind of like ourselves. Now he goes to wisdom and calls her. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. That's what he's doing here. That's what Solomon is doing here. He's wisdom to his son. And he's telling him what he needs to hear. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? That is the naive. How long are you going to stay that way? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. We don't need this education. It's not going to do us any good. We're going to get rich by robbing. Turn you, he says, wisdom says, at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Do you ever have somebody try to grab you by the lapels or the shoulders and say, listen to me? That's what wisdom's trying to do. Please don't go down the road you're going. It's not going to be. And they say, need that. But she's begging them. She says, I was everywhere you were, trying to get your attention. Scene changes, verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Okay, you've made your bed. What are you going to do? You heard that expression? He's made his bed. And now he's going to lie. That means there's consequences. Consequences. Because you have ignored me. Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. How do you think that 12 and 14 year old boy and those other 12, 13, 14 year old boys felt when the light started coming into that house from the police cars? And they started yelling, come out with your hands. How do you think they felt? Oh, goody, we come. All the joy from what they were doing, gone. Whose blood were they looking for? They thought, we're going to get something. You know, we can steal something and sell it and get some money. And if they'd have gotten away with it that night, would that have been it? Nope. That's right. Right? There have been bigger and better things. Hey, we got $100 this time. Let's go for bigger. Let's stay longer. Lay wait for their own blood? You betcha. And she says, I tried. I begged you. And Solomon, parents and grandparents, we're grandparents. Believe it or not, I'm old enough to be a grandparent. 9 times. Whenever those grandchildren come, Nana is their teacher. Judy is their teacher. And I kind of throw in once in a while something. They love it. Nana, it's time. Time to go read the Bible. It got to be a habit and a learning time. And coming down in the morning, oh, Granddaddy, you should have been up there with us. And they tell me the story of David and the Philistines. Wow! Of Esther. Of Ruth and Naomi. All of these wonderful characters that build character and strengthen their character before it's set like concrete. But these are not listening, wisdom says. I will laugh at your calamity. You laughed at me. I also will laugh, verse 26, at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Again, in that house, when the lights come on. No joy in Mudville. It's over. Then, he says, verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Reason for that? Consequences. You know, sometimes, parents, we save our children from consequences. I learned this. Our youngest son kept forgetting his lunch. Ever so often, maybe once, twice a week, forget. Guess what? The old dad grabbed the old being a good dad and run it to the school. Well, there wasn't any reason for him to remember it because dad's going to bring it. You know, so what if I forget it? I got tired of that. And I realized that the boy wouldn't starve if he missed one meal. Okay? Again, I think it was Judy that placed the brilliant idea in my mind that, aren't you setting a trend here? What? Huh? Oh, yeah. Don't take it to him this time. He never forgot it again. He had to feel the pain. He had to go through the consequences of what it was like to forget. Oh, yeah, my lunch! Okay. Sometimes he got out the door, but he'd get back in and get it. Okay. And that doesn't mean if they play in the street, you know, just let them go play. No. Use some judgment. He said, when the consequences come, they're going to come for me. Help! Help! Save me! And wisdom says, you didn't pay attention to me? Sorry. My dad told me, son, if you ever get in jail, don't you call me. Because I'm not coming. I'm not going to bail you. I see some other parents told you that too, didn't they? You get in trouble, you're going to suffer the consequences. If you get a spanking at school, I'm not going to the principal and try to sue him. No, you're going to get both barrels. And he meant it. So, wisdom says, you mocked me, you laughed at me, and when the consequences come, I'm going to do the same to you. You're going to come after me long and hard and fast, and I'm going deaf. 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Underline that word, that. Whatever you... You have a garden? Some, maybe just one tomato plant. Let's see, we planted one of those topsy-turvy this year. You know what I mean? Upside-down tomatoes. It worked. Still getting tomatoes when I left. And I said, next year I'm going to plant an apple tree. Okay. So, you reap what you sow. That's what wisdom says. Verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. That's the way they chose. And be filled with their own devices. Remember what Solomon said to his son? Don't go with them. Don't follow their way. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The naive that choose not to listen to wisdom, they just turn it away, shut it off. And the prosperity of fools, you're going to get rich. Their prosperity, hey, we got away with it once. We got away with it a second time. Let's go to a bank. And it will kill them. How many are in jail? As we said earlier. But whoso, verse 33, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I don't know about you, but I like pillowing my head at night and not having to worry about somebody knocking on the door or somebody calling. Oh my. Oh my. Don't you like to sleep well? Don't have to worry? My father-in-law said, don't have a worry. He said, if I did, I wouldn't worry about it. And that's what the Lord tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Matthew chapter 6, three times. Three times he tells us. I think he, and Paul in Philippians 4, same thing. Don't worry. The song says, be happy. You be happy when you do what this book says. And chapter 1 is great, but that's just the introduction. You ought to see what's in chapter 2 and 3 and make a dedicated study. And if you're naive, don't stay that way. You know, you can be 50 and 60 and 70 and naive. It's not too late. Not too late. This book can help you. This book will help you to be happy on earth, and it'll help you to be happy forever in heaven. You've listened so well, so patiently. I hope this intrigues you to go into chapter 2 and 3 and so on. See what God meant for us. Don't keep your book closed, but wear it out. Use hand oil on it. Remember, use hand oil on your Bible. Keep it open. Wear it out. Use it. And put what's in here up here. David said, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I put in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Bingo. What'd we say? What's the word? Jackpot. Here it is. You want to hit the jackpot? Here's where it's at. Whether you die with a penny or however much, you're going to be happy because you follow the will, the law of the Lord, and you're going to be happy here and in bliss in the hereafter. But if you're not a child of God, you have no hope. I want to tell you, you have no hope for salvation. You are lost. I can show it to you in this book, just like what we showed you tonight. You are dead in your sin. You need to arise and to walk in newness of life after your baptism to be what God would have you to be and do what He'd have you to do. If you're subject to that invitation, won't you come now while we stand and sing a song of encouragement?